You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Didn't think I was going to make it today because so much going on these days. I mean, we were off last Tuesday due to circumstances beyond our control. But for the people listening to us, you're here. You're at WrestleBot Live with Bobby Chulo. Don't forget, you can check us out on Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30. No Dalen today because he's got stuff going on. I think he's partying somewhere. Hold on real quick before we get to that. Of course, co-host over here, Nicolette Marie. Nicolette Marie, how are you? Can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm doing amazing, Bobby. Thank you so much.
And we've hit a milestone today with WrestleBot because we actually have Michael Parks with us, and he's on his headset, and he's live and in color. Michael Parks, can you hear us?
Everyone,
because last time he forgot his headphones and we were outside and we tried to use some other mic and we were all messed up, but we're all here now, so it's good because we got a lot to talk about. Coming up first, for the people who've been listening to us and know the show, and I'll be honest, and I'll throw this over to Nicolette Marie and Michael Parks because he was there too. The show that we did in Laguna Hills was huge. I mean, I knew people were going to want to come out and check it out because it was like the first show that people can actually be in the audience and watch it and not have to be in a car or whatever. But when I came out and saw how many people there, I mean, it was like WrestleMania. I'm going to say there was at least maybe 150 to 200 people there. So, Nicolette Marie, would you agree?
I feel like Mike told me there was a higher number that he thought than that.
Well, Michael Parks was actually out there in the crowd. So, well, first of all, Mike, tell us, does that sound about right, about maybe 200 people or so? And how was the atmosphere out there? Because it looked like everybody was having a good time.
Man, I think the number was closer to 250. There was a lot of people there, if not more. I mean, Dalen and I were sitting here, and I'm going, dude, this place is getting packed, to the point where they had to take chairs from other areas, bring in more chairs because they just had so many people. And I was loving it. The atmosphere was awesome, man. It was, you know, just to be at a live show again was.
Well, Michael Parks, being the person that he is, okay, we always go early. We make sure that we have money, Starbucks, whatever. But I guess Mike needed money before the show began, so he left and had to come back. And then he said you had to actually drive around a little bit to find the parking, you know?
Yeah, I ended up parking in the front of the church. So it was like, man.
Wow.
No. No, we were in.
Oh, the front parking lot.
By the front door. Yeah, we were by the front door.
Yeah, and so, it's weird because it's like a church or whatever, but I want to say Lutheran or Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know for sure. But first of all, it was the cleanest place that I've ever been to. I mean, it was literally like spotless. They had a person that was there that was just constantly cleaning the bathroom when you came in and out. I mean, it was really, really clean. But anyways, we're going back. It's this Friday for the people listening to us. I think it's called RGR Productions now because I know Robert Garcia is the main man who's the promotor that's doing it. And, you know, to me, we got Biagio coming up who's booked on there. He was in the main event of the last show. So we're going to talk to him about that because from what I heard, they were throwing 20s, not just singles and stuff like that. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that and about how that match went. But it went so well. So what I think, and I'll take this around to the panel real quick, he must have went, Robert Garcia must have went to RJ and said, look, who's the biggest draw right now? Who can I bring that'll just draw as many people as I want? And he must have said Psycho Clown because they're bringing Psycho Clown. Not only that, but they're bringing his dad, who is Super Porky Brazo de Plata, to come and sign autographs and stuff like that. So to me, I think that's what happened. I think they did so well that they said, look, man, who's the biggest draw? They said Psycho Clown. They said, okay, let's bring, because as of now, we've been checking. There's very few seats left. I mean, I'm sure they're going to open up a little bit more or try. I don't know if they have to stick to a certain capacity, but they're close to being sold out because it's going to be huge, and it was so successful. So I think that's what happened. Nicolette Marie, would you agree? I think they said, let's bring Psycho Clown and pack it.
Yeah, I think they also brought down Cyclone. Like I told you, as far as the females, Miranda Alizé is very, very big in the female independent scene. Remember, she had an AEW tryout. She's very good friends with Mecha Wolf, and they're bringing down her. That's very, very good for the card, as well as Cyclone.
Yeah, yeah, I would. Michael Parks, what do you think?
Man, that show is going to be big, and it's going to be nice to see Super Porky. You know, the last time I actually saw him was when AAA came to the Forum years ago.
Oh,
you remember that?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. And they were fighting
brothers.
him and his two brothers. I can't remember who. Didn't they wrestle? I think they wrestled like Cien Caras and those brothers. But that, again, they threw money in the ring. And if I remember correctly, because it was such a long time ago, I think it was Brazo de Oro tried to take a little bit more money and put it in his trunks, and they started swinging. They started swinging on each other. You remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, because at first we thought we thought they were playing, and then they started punching each other. I forgot all about that, but they did put on a heck of a show.
They did. That was a heck of a show.
That's cool, but I can beat that because they brought him down to the marketplace. Sergio and I were working for Martin, and we were at the marketplace. And I remember, God, it must have been, I would say, 16 to 18 years ago. So Brazo de Plata went into the marketplace because he wanted to buy a Nintendo or a PlayStation or whatever for his son. And he couldn't fit it in his luggage. So Sergio told him, hey, why don't you take it out of the box and then you could put it in there. And it fit perfect once he took it out of the box. And he looks at Sergio, and in Spanish he goes, see, that's why I like you, because you're stupid or whatever. So we're laughing. But imagine that he was buying that for his son, who is now Psycho Clown, who's coming to wrestle over here. So that, you know, and you feel kind of stupid when you go, man, I remember when you were a little kid and your dad was buying you a PlayStation or anything. Get away from
me
or whatever.
Bobby, I did want to say this really quick. Speaking of when you're saying, did they ask RJ who the talent was that's coming down? Three of my friends called me this week, maybe like in a little bit of last week too, and said, hey, Nicole, I got to ask you, where are you getting booked at? They said, as fast as I'm getting my bookings, they are getting canceled. I don't know if this is due to COVID or what, but I did see that Richard Garcia's show is running, and a lot of the talent that they're using for this card, as well as Biagio, who's booked on that card, is going the next day to Canada Pro or Canna Pro.
Yes.
And so they're kind of using the same talent, but a lot of my friends, though, they said that they're getting booked, and then they're saying, sorry, the show got canceled, and that's it. My friends are like, I haven't worked in months. And so,
it's hard to hear,
and I didn't know what to tell them.
And I think what happened was is a lot of them were breaking the rules. They weren't spacing people apart. So they are watching that. You know what I mean? They're being careful. So, you know, that's why a lot of them have it. But this one, I think since it's a church, it's a private, a private place or owned or whatever. So, you know, they're able to, as long as they keep within the guidelines or whatever. So they're okay. Cause it's true. The show for November 7th that you were booked for out there in the drive-thru or whatever, that got postponed too, you know?
Right. It did get postponed. I read on the website that it was everything till 2021, and I'm not sure why it got canceled. That show was very, very up to safety guidelines. They went through the CDC. Everybody was COVID tested. Everybody had to stay in their car. They specifically said, get back in your car if you were out of your car. I'm not sure. I did read on Twitter that somebody kind of threw some shade and said, it's really nice that these promoters are just letting anybody willy-nilly work an independent show, because like I guess a lot of people were just getting away with, okay, you can go. They was like, oh, you work Monday through Friday? Come on in. If you're working at your 9-to-5, you could work the show, you know, and nobody's getting temperature checked or anything. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. Everybody's saying that a lot of people are going to go party for Halloween, and they're like, please stop, because it's going to lead to us not getting any gigs for the rest of 2020.
Well, let me tell you something, and for the people listening to us, you're here at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo. I got Nicolette Marie and Michael Parks with me, and we're talking about the big show that's coming up on Friday. Robert Garcia, I talk a lot of, like, DJ Vos, that guy works really hard, you know, to get his stuff out there, but I have never in my life seen somebody who works as hard as that promotor, Richard Garcia. He spends the whole weekend. He goes and sells shoes, and then he does the acoustic concert, and then so this one, after the show on Friday, the following, he's it just announced it that he's going to have a big party at Exlos or Zalos or whatever the nightclub is. He's throwing like a big Halloween party, not necessarily, you know, to coincide with the wrestling, but he just keeps on going. Can no, Nicolette?
Oh, yeah. If you go down his Facebook stream, you just see everything that he's doing, and there's an event going on almost every Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, well, he comes and makes the best of his time or whatever over here. So we definitely look forward to that. You know, I'm not too sure, but I think it's going to be myself. I want to say Hector Camacho, but is it Macho Camacho? What will they call him?
Rancho Camacho.
Are they bringing Hector Camacho out of retirement? But it's me and Rancho Camacho and Power Baby Genesis in a three-way. That's what I've heard so far or whatever. But then it's booked as Italy versus Mexico. I think it's Vito and Biagio against some luchadores with the mask. I can't remember who it is. We'll ask him when he comes on. And then, of course, the main event, they got Romeo, Shamu Jr., Acero, Psycho Clown, and our good friend, Rey León. So it's going to be huge. It's going to be cool. And it's kind of good when they bring somebody like Brazo de Plata to come and sign autographs, because then when the people are waiting for the matches to come on, they can go visit him. They can buy his merch. They can get some autographs and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure Michael Parks will be first in line. I mean, that dude is a huge Super Porky Brazo de Plata mark or whatever. And he's going to go up to go, yeah, remember when you guys got in a fight and it was at the Forum and your brothers? And he's just going to be looking at him smiling as he does speaking. Yeah. Or he'll go, I remember my brother or whatever. So we look forward to that. But anyways, let's get Biagio on here. We'll talk a little bit about the big main event, see what he's up to. We'll talk a little bit of his OCCW days and, you know, get his thoughts on what's happening on the wrestling scene today.
I just feel like Charming has been wrestling. And I, by the way, Fabi, I think he goes by Charming. I don't think he goes by Biagio. I just feel like he has been wrestling for forever.
Ahead,
as far as I've known him since the business, he has just always been wrestling. I've never seen him be like, hey, I'm training. Hey, like, I'm working my 9-to-5. Like, he's just always, and he's young, too.
And you know what? We'll also talk to him about almost getting killed by High Risk, because he was the one who took
right.
that.
Oh, that's right. He was in that match. That's right.
He took that move from High Risk. So we'll talk to him about that. So let's take the quick break, see what Denise Salcido has to say, and we'll be right back after this. Hold on, everybody.
Hey, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch all of the great network content this week. Get the full lineup and listen to all of our shows in the podcast network section of luchacentral.com. On Tuesdays, Mass, Mats, and Mayhem takes you inside the world of Lucha Underground as they take you weekly through the series with the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of special guests from the groundbreaking series. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at luchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. Tuesday nights live is WrestleBoss, where Fabi Chulo talks MMA and pro wrestling with special guests and listener call-ins. Visit WrestleBossLive.com Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific to listen live or call in with questions or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesdays. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez, as they have guests from throughout the wrestling world pull up to give an inside look into their careers. From indie standouts to television superstars, each week brings a new name and perspective. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platforms, either by their own series name or subscribe to the Lucha Central Podcast Network show pages to get all of the shows in one easy feed. And please consider giving a rating to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
man, that Denise Salcedo has a long, what do you call it, or whatever. She's got to make that long commercial. That's our long break, but it's cool because we got so much going on. And don't get to talk to Kevin that much because, I mean, it's really starting to expand. He's got the Legends of Lucha shirts in the Hot Topic. I think you can order them online or whatever. I don't know if they're actually in the store yet, but you can check that out. But let's give Biagio a call and get his thoughts on what we're talking about. Michael Parks had to go bye-bye for a minute, so hopefully he'll come back on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know what. We don't have no producer Dalen today, so we got to listen to the
hello.
What he goes. Hey, Biagio, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, this is Charming. Charming himself, and himself is charming.
That's good. That we like to hear the charming Biagio Crescenzo. But real quick for the people, listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo Donkey. You can check us out every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30. And on the line with us right now, the charming man himself, Biagio Crescenzo. But, of course, my co-host Nicolette Marie is with me. Say hi to Biagio.
Well, that's charming. Yeah. Hello, charming. How are you doing?
Not much. How are you doing?
Good.
Good talking to you, Nicole.
Before we called you, I said that's charming. I said I don't think he goes by Biagio, but – hey, if you got to give him a chop when you see him, then that's on him. I
think you can recognize the voice.
Hey, well, let me tell you, you know, in the opening, we were talking a lot about, you know, the show that's coming up this Friday.
Yes.
But before we get into that, I got to tell you, Nicolette was going to be working with High Risk. So she wanted to go check out one of the shows at Inoki Dojo. And I was sicker than sick. I had the flu, and I didn't want to go. And I'm like, well, let me go check it out or whatever.
Shit.
So we went to go see it. And first of all, the place was packed. I mean, it was. I didn't think it was going to be that many people, but
I was surprised.
It was you and your partner against High Risk. So that match, I knew it was going to be good. I knew it was going to be, you know, high flying. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on.
That was at the Zalos Event Center, huh?
Yes, but when you
the nightclub, Leonardo's. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, Zylos.
So when you took that finishing move, I thought you were dead. I said, oh, my God, he's dead or whatever. Boom, finish the match or whatever. I didn't get a chance to talk to you after that because we work. So we had to take off to go to work. But before we get into talking about this show that's coming up, tell us a little bit about that. First of all, how was that match and how was everything afterwards or whatever? Were you sore at all? Because what it looked like was your neck went back the other way and then your body followed. Whatever. So
sure did. And it felt like I was dead for a minute or two. But prepping for that match was kind of like really hard because I believe RVD and Sabu were there too, right?
Yeah.
So they were kind of there with us, and then we were just like, I was doing my own thing in the back, you know. Eli was there, and they're like, okay, you're on in like 20 minutes. So it's like, okay, you guys get ready. I'll go do my thing, and I'll come back and see what's up. So by the time I came back, it was like 5 minutes before we have to go out there. So at that point, they're prepared, but I'm not. So they're like, oh man, you missed out. We went through this. And I'm like, okay, well, just let me know what's going on and I'll keep an ear open in there, you know? Just feel it out there.
Yeah.
So there were just my partner Hyde, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And he was just freaking out. He was like, what are we going to do? What's the finish? And I'm like, don't worry about it. Just go in there. We're going to calm down. We're just going to be natural. We're going to be ourselves, you know, because when I go in that, when I enter the entrance and I go through that curtain, it's just a different person, you know, I'm me in the back. But when I enter that curtain, it's just like a switch is turned on. Like I don't have to know anything that's going on in that match, but as long as I can react natural, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Charming,
and a lot
I
of
feel
times
like you were on a completely different show too. This show, I think you tagged with Jordan Cruz.
No, I tagged with Vito Fratelli.
No.
They're just as big, though.
High Risk.
This is the one
there
we go.
Up there with Eli. Yeah, you drove up there with Eli. Taya Valkyrie was on the card.
Yeah.
This was like March. Yeah. I mean, it was right before COVID hit, and then the next week was like Sean's show. And I know you didn't work Sean's show, but yeah, that was that show. I'll send you the footage from it.
Right.
No, there was no Hyde there or anything.
Yeah.
No? Okay, I could have sworn it was Hyde.
No.
Okay. Oh, no, it was Donnie and Jordan Cruz, huh?
Yes.
That was a different show. Okay, I remember that. Oh, well, we're talking about two different things.
That's okay.
That one, I was tagging with Dylan Kyle Cox.
Yes, yes, you were, yes.
Okay, this is where the roles reversed. I was freaking out.
Okay.
DKC was 3 minutes before the entrance. He was all chill into his character, doing his thing, waiting himself with the water. And I'm like, fuck, dude. What are we doing again in there at the end when we hit our special move? Don't worry, dude. We got this. I'm like, fuck, man. I'm supposed to be the vet. What the fuck? So at that point, I just like went out in the curtain again, and just a switch went off. And I was just like, hey, if I don't get it together, I shouldn't be here. If I do, yeah. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
And I remember the entrance was kind of slippery. Guys are kind of slipping and sliding out there, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. And it was.
I was ready to be next.
Yeah,
I was ready to slide all the way to the ring.
But it was one.
Thank God I didn't.
It was one of the better matches. I mean, that one and
the
mini really, really did well. But regardless of what happened in that show, that's what got me. I thought, man, that match at the end.
And then that finish at the end, huh?
It was wicked or whatever. But so anyway, so just like right after that, the COVID hit. And nobody
right.
was getting work. I mean, nobody was. So what's going on with you during this whole COVID thing before we got to the match over there at Laguna Hills?
Everybody at that point was canceled. You know, I just remember seeing Instagram posts saying, oh, I'm canceled and I'm canceled. I'm just going, well, fuck. Well, of course, I'm canceled too, you know?
Yeah.
So at
yeah.
that point, we just got to keep moving. We got to keep life moving on, you know? So
yeah.
It was really hard for me making money because I wasn't wrestling. And that was
yeah.
my main source of income. So therefore, there was no work open. What could you do, right? So, of
yeah.
course, I had, I was calling my dad, and I was like, what do I do? What should I do? And he goes, man, you need to get on unemployment. You have no idea how much fucking cabbage they're throwing out. And I was like, oh, but they're not going to accept me for that shit. He goes, nah, man, they're throwing out some cheese. You better get it. And I go, you know what? I listened to him, and I just did the thing online. And for me, it was like school, like online
yeah.
class, and I hate that. And I was just like, fuck, if I don't go through this, good things will not come out of it. So I
yeah.
pushed through, I did it, and I got it over with. And it was like 20 minutes, pretty quick. So
yeah.
they qualified me. And I was like, oh, it was a good thing I listened to my dad. And I called
yeah.
him. I said, oh, I listened to you. He goes, yeah, you did finally? I go, yeah, they qualified me, and I should get it in like 10 days. Oh, no, not 10 days. It came in 3 weeks. That shit took forever.
Yeah,
they couldn't get here any
waiting.
Later.
Yeah,
well, yeah by the time I got my check,
yeah, they had.
I was already in debt.
Yeah, it took a long
I
time.
I believe it.
And a lot of people just barely got it going not too long ago because when you have that many people filing. But I got
right, and the retroactive stuff too.
Yeah, yeah, it seemed like when we went to the show in the Goonly Hills, what I was thinking, I thought, okay, it's going to be a lot of people because it's the first show where
I didn't think so. I thought there was going to be 10 people.
You know,
I said, oh, my face is on it. I don't think people are going to go watch.
I think it was the hair.
Prove me wrong.
When they took that picture. Oh,
when they made me look like Engine from Crash Bandicoot. I didn't share the flyer because of it. I looked at my hair and I go, this is a great flyer. What the fuck is up with my hair? The dark was on dark. It was like a black background. So I guess they didn't know that my hair was outlined this way, and they made an extra bump around my head and made me look like Engine. I was like, no, this is embarrassing. I'm not sharing this. And I didn't. No, I'm not going to share that.
Money,
terrible.
Did you use your money very well and turn it around and go get gear done by Kiros?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You noticed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because you did that really cool design where you actually put like your face on the side of your pants, right?
Right, and I didn't think it was possible. It all starts off with like a pen and a paper. You know, you're just like alone late at night with your thoughts, and you're just drawing logos, writing down spots, studying. That's what I do. I watch a lot of wrestling, and I study. And sometimes I get a pen and a paper, and I start writing down stuff.
And how long did
so
it
I
take
just,
for him to make it for you?
6 weeks. Manuel Quiroz is a blessing with my gear.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for him making my gear, I think every other gear guy would kind of mess up. Other than the guy that I would go to with Labyrintho and Durango, they have a brother in Mexico, and they're pretty good as well. But they don't get the details just too much because I go, oh, they got me. I had like blue and silver pants before. I guess that's the only blue color I've ever worn. And I wanted my C's, on there and the key. And I go, this is great. Where are the C's? Oh, next time we'll tell them. And I go, oh, hell. Okay, thank you, dude. And in my head, I was like, oh, I ain't doing this shit again. Because I'm really articulate with my designs, you know. And Kiro's is the only one that can get it down to the niche. I go, no. I don't want the stud here. Can we put the stud over here? And he'll take his time. And he'll be like, you know what? Give me 2 weeks. I'll do it for you. And that's how much of a great person he is.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. You know, well, first of all, when we went to the show, and I hadn't seen Biagio in a while or whatever. I think I hadn't seen him since OCCW days.
I remember I debuted with you on the same card at OCCW. Remember when everybody was giving me chops?
Yeah.
How old are you guys? I don't remember that.
I was 17.
Yeah, that was a while back. That was
remember little Frankie Frank from Mexico?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. What happened to that guy?
Who knows? I haven't got to.
Yeah, exactly. Wish him well.
You know, first of all,
good times, man.
It's funny that you said that because Nicolette Marie, remember we got there and I hadn't seen Biagio in a while, and that's the first thing he said. I go, hey, what's up, man? Hey, what's going on? Did you see the flyer, bro? I don't know what's going on with this flyer.
Man, that was the first thing that came out, huh?
Yes.
Dude, it bothered me.
Yeah. So
I was like, what? Are they pulling a rib on me?
Yeah, but you know? Anyways, we got there and I knew it was going to be crowded because only for the fact that there hadn't been anything that the fans can actually come out and be in the crowd, not in the car.
For a while, huh? It's been like six months for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, watching on a TV or whatever. So,
sure.
First of all, when I got there, I was watching everybody, and when I saw like Rey León and those guys, dude, they had nice new gear, nice new boots. Mm-hmm. Everybody looked.
They were ready.
I gotta step up my game. These guys really look. I can see why everybody. You know,
you gotta get some new boots. A new cowbell.
Well, after that, that's what I did. I ordered some new boots. We headed out to Kiro's.
Nice.
And but you know it's. I got some black trunks made, and Nicolette had a new top and stuff. So we said, all
right,
about how long?
Right.
Goes, it's gonna be about 3 months. And I'm like,
whoa!
And the funny thing was, Kiro's also took no measurements.
He gave you guys the special treatment, huh?
Yeah.
He gave you the special treatment. He goes, all right, I want to make sure this is extra. I'm going to work on this for a minute.
He doesn't even, like, he goes, okay, you want black? Okay, no problem. And then Nicolette goes, well, I want a shirt that has this, this, and that. Okay, no problem. 3 months, I'll have it for you. No measurements. Just
right.
Ready to go. But, I mean, Nicolette's had a lot of gear made by him.
No measurements.
I just go open his 2X drawer. And I'll get some trunks or whatever from him, but now I actually had to get him to make me some because.
Oh, yeah, you got to get those measurements done.
Yeah, big time. So,
yeah.
Anyways, we went and did the show, and it was on a Sunday. So, of course, Nicolette and I have to go to work the next day. So we jammed. We jammed it at the intermission. So when I get home, everybody's going, dude, the main event was off the chain, and you should have stayed, and they were throwing money. So,
what?
For the
Are
people
you serious?
Yeah, listen to us on WrestleBuzz. Tell us about how your match went and talk about the crowd and how it was and everything like that because everybody's asking now.
At that point, I had no idea what I was going to go out to. Again, I thought it was only going to be like 10 people. And what hit me was I saw the gate and the doors weren't even open yet. And guys, the people, the fans, so supportive. They were all lined up all the way to the parking lot. And that just made me realize why I do this. It gave me an extra motivation, I believe, that day, that moment. Because at that point, I was just like, okay, I'm here. I'm going to do my thing. And it's not going to be too much, you know. Usually, I would be really excited and motivated with shows like Best of the West or UEW that have maybe almost tried to make me like a home-style name in a way, you know. That would motivate me. But seeing this kind of brought back that motivation.
Yeah.
It gave me a reason to do something. It gave me a reason to give these fans more. And that's what I did.
Yeah, and that show was huge. So anyways, unfortunately, we're running
big
up
time.
Against the clock. So it went, bled over into another show that's going to be even bigger. So now what they have.
Which is this Friday.
Yeah, which is this Friday in Laguna Hills. It's RGR Productions.
Right.
You can go to our social media to check out the information if you want to go. From what I hear, very limited seats left. I mean, it's going to be packed. But is it going to be you and Vito?
That's awesome.
Be Vito as a
yes,
team?
It is. We're going to be tagging again. There'll be Team Italy versus Team Mexico, and it will be going up against Black, Puma Negro, and Zofre from Los Luchas.
That's
so, yeah, it's going to be good. I got to hit one of them with the concerto. Probably be Zofre.
Definitely. So
he's too good. He's too good. I got to get him out of the way.
Yeah, don't forget, you have to check it out. It's going to be RGR Productions. It's this Friday. The doors open at 6. First match is going to go at 7. Make sure you come and check it out. You got Biagio and Vito Fratelli, like they said, against Zocri and Puma Negro. That's going to be huge. You definitely have to check that out. My match is a three-way.
Exactly.
It's going to be me, Macho Camacho, and Power Baby Genesis in a three-way match.
Nice.
So, like I said, since that day, I had to step up my game. I've been actually training, getting myself together, because I'm like, dude, these guys have upped the stakes. So we definitely look forward to that. For the people listeners, make sure you check out Charming Crescenzo. Real quick before we get out of here, give us your social media so that people can follow you.
For sure. It's very complicated. So for Instagram, it'll be Charming _ Crescenzo. C-R-E-S-C. The C is silent. E-N-Z-O. Weird, right? And then for Twitter, it'll be
your name to promote it tonight, because when I made the card for RJ, I spelled it wrong. I added like an N and a Z and a S, and then so yeah. So thank you.
It's
for
like, is
it
the Z or the C? It's the same thing, right?
Yeah,
that's all I think sometimes.
You pronounce it the same way, but hey, well,
right.
We definitely look forward to seeing you on Friday. I think it's going to be even bigger this time or whatever. I'm
definitely
just glad to see that it's back in the mix and people can actually go see a good show and stuff like that. I think once the election's over, November 3rd, it's just going to be this big miracle, and everybody's going to go back to work, and everybody's going to go back to wrestling, and it's going to be amazing. So this is going to start.
I think at that point will be the snowball will start.
Yeah, I agree. So for the people listeners, make sure you check out Charming Crescenzo. Big show coming up this Friday. We're all going to be there. Make sure you check it out. I'll send this to you after we're done, Biagio.
Oh, yeah.
That you can check it out, and we'll see you on Friday. All right, my friend?
Thank you, Favi. And remember, it's never too late to train, man. You're never too old to keep training. You got another 20 years in you, man. We're all the same age in the ring.
Absolutely. I mean, I had to step up my game. It's amazing. But all right, man, we'll see you Friday.
You will.
Listen, make sure you
stay blessed, brother.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
Thank you.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Man, Nicolette Marie, was that Biagio fired up or what? Are you all there? Are you there? Can you hear me?
Sorry, Bobby, I can hear you. Yeah, I know. It's so amazing. Charming, I definitely, yeah, he's always been a day one. Like I said, coming into the business, like I just heard about this kid, always been wrestling, and I've never known him to be like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm taking a break or, you know, I'm training or blah, blah. I've just known him, like, in the business, always wrestling. That's how I've always known him.
Yeah, I'm going to go on record as saying, you know, maybe even a little underrated. Or whatever, as far as a worker
definitely.
Or whatever.
I know he's had the belt on him many times in many feds, too, so well-deserved, you know?
Yeah, but he's getting out there because people are noticing now. That's why they put him with Vito against – that's going to be a good match against Zocri and Puma Negro. That's going to be what do you call it? Some little barn burners or whatever. So
yes.
Definitely want to check that out.
Bobby, really quick, too. Ruben is panicking. He's asking what time we're going to call him. That was at 8 o'clock, correct?
Tell him between 7:45 and 8. Because we're going to bring Jesse Juarez on right now and talk a little MMA.
Okay.
And then we'll get – but I saved him for last because we got a lot to talk about with that dude.
We do. Okay. I have a story with him too. Awesome.
All right. Well, let's try Jesse Juarez real quick so we could talk, and we'll go from there. You know, he's to train with Antonio McKee. So – and Antonio's son is huge right now. I think he's going to go for the belt. I think it's Thursday, as a matter of fact. We'll find out right now.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Jesse, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me?
Yo, hey, how's it going, Fabiano?
I'm doing good. Real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBus with Fabi Chulo. Don't forget, you can check us out every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30, and we're going to be talking to Jesse Juarez real quick. But before we do that, Jesse, it's been such a long time. My daughter is actually my co-host on the radio show now. So real quick, Nicolette Marie, say hi to Jesse.
Jesse, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, doing great. Glad to be on today.
You know, I got to tell you, man, this is what kicked it off. You know, people make fun of Facebook and all, like, oh, that's silly and it's old. But when your memories come up, that's a good thing, because the memory came up of when Jesse went down to Lac du Flambeau, Wisconsin, and fought for the belt and fought Frank Schumann. So I want to talk about that real quick, but hold on a second. Sorry, I was almost choking. But before we do that, I got to tell you, people to this day still talk about Long Beach Fight Night and how good it was. And that's where I met Jesse Juarez. And he was training with Antonio and all that. And Delo was telling me, I said, hey, man, this guy looks like he's in shape. He said, yeah, man. He goes, if I put Jesse against this guy, this is going to be a fight, you know, or whatever. So real quick, before we talk about what I wanted to talk to you about, take us back to that. I mean, to me, it seemed like it was probably one of the better smaller shows, just strictly because of the matchups. But talk a little bit about that.
Oh, man. Long Beach Fight Night, bringing it way back. You know, that was one of the great small shows in Southern California. You know, you knew what you were going to get going into that event center. It was at Long Beach City College. I mean, crowds were packed. You're talking about the mecca of MMA in Southern California, throwing on the such an amazing small show with De La O and who's the guy with De La O?
It was both the De La O brothers, Jason and John.
Okay, Jason. Yeah, that's right. So
yeah.
I mean, they did such a great job over there, and I was lucky enough to be the headliner of the show on the very first fight for me,
yes,
fighting for that organization, and I came in a little bit as an underdog. I think I was fighting Kenny, Thomas Kenny.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, from De La O Jiu-Jitsu. And,
right.
You know, he had built a huge name for himself and King of the Cage. And, you know, I was the underdog. I came in there a little I was scared. I was going in there. And that's one of the things you don't want to ever do, is go into a fight scared. But
yeah,
just like you back a dog against put him into a corner, he has to fight out of it, and that's exactly what happened. Is I went in there scared, and one of my good buddies of mine, Savant Young, he came and he had said something to me that I still use to this day. It's like, you have nowhere else to go. You put in the corner, just like, and he referenced that dog thing. You're put in the corner. You have no way to go except for out straight ahead, and
yeah,
either fight or you pretty much get knocked out. And
yeah,
that's exactly, whenever I get put against the wall, I got to fight out of there.
Yeah, and you know, that's where and honestly, to me, Savant Young, very underrated as a coach and a fighter. I mean, that dude is just nails, man. But anyways, I knew who Jesse was. I had done announced a couple of his fights. I kept up with them. And then luckily for me, King of the Cage picked me up when Long Beach Fight Night went down. So I was working, Dean Stone is the regular announcer, but they were doing so much shows that I would work when they were double booked or if Dean could make it. I was doing like 12 shows a year. So we go to Lac du Flambeau, Wisconsin. I get all my paperwork and everything, and I see the card. And I, because I had been out there before and I'd seen Frank Schumann fight. He had been pretty big out there, you know, in Wisconsin, but he had just been fighting local talent in Wisconsin. Nice guy. I mean, I had a good working relationship with him and all. He was getting pretty popular. But I saw the card, and when I saw Jesse Juarez, I looked at Mike Lowe and I said, is this Jesse Juarez from Torrance that trains with Antonio? He goes, yeah, that's him. Dude, that's a big step up for this kid. I said, and he goes, yeah, I know, or whatever. Well, it's for the belt. And I said, okay. So Jesse and Antonio got there the day before me because he had to weigh in and stuff like that, you know. And so we go to the weigh-ins. Everybody weighs in. Jesse weighs in. I said, hey, man, you know, good luck, bro, or whatever. And he's like, yeah. He goes, I'm going to go back. I'm going to get something to eat. I'm going to kick back. I'm going to relax, and I'll see you tomorrow. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. So Frank's walking around. He's messing with the belt. He's posing. He's like, and I'm like, dude, you might want to get yourself together and be ready for tomorrow, you know, because you got Jesse. Oh, no, bro. Whatever. So I was like, dude, I don't think he knew what he was up against. So when we got there and we did the fight, he had a million people. I mean, and it was just Jesse and Antonio. That's it. And when I made the announcement, everybody's screaming, oh, yeah, Frank, and they're screaming. And then I announced Jesse Juarez, and you could hear a pin drop. I mean, you just could hear nothing. So I was okay. So we get in there, and when I get down to my seat, I'm about maybe less than 6 feet from Antonio. And he goes, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to stand with them. Jesse's going to close a distance, and he's going to put him out. And I'm like, okay. And to the teeth, I mean, he closed the distance, took him down, choked him out. I hadn't even had a chance to change my cards for the next fight. So he chokes him out, fight's over. Again, it was just quiet. All you can hear is Antonio. And he's telling me, I told you, Fabio. What did I tell you? So we go and tell us about that. I mean, that can't be the first time. I don't want to say hostile territory because, you know, they were pretty cool. But, I mean, have you ever had a fight like that before where you were so, like, this guy was so popular and you're coming in out of nowhere?
Oh, man. Tons of fights, you know, but let's talk about this and I'll go on. You know,
go for it.
So, you're right. Frank Schuman had such a huge crowd. He was a local favorite. I mean, I think he's a sheriff in his town, right?
Yes.
I had Antonio and I had one of the announcers and one of the ring girls that are from our area. I guess knew who I was. Everybody else didn't know. So going into that fight, I was like, all right, my back's against the wall. I got everybody hating on me right now. You know, I gotta perform and go out there and perform. As soon as I remember he started closing distance, threw a kick. I caught it. I took him down, and you know, I put a side choke and head and arm choke and choked him. He tapped out, and then as soon as I stood up and I was celebrating, I started hearing boos. I started hearing F-U's. I was like, oh man, this crowd is not happy. And you know, as soon as I got on you started interviewing me in front of everybody, I started hearing the same thing over. And you know, and I think the crowd started to appreciate the situation after I thanked the crowd. I thanked Frank. I thanked the promotion because, you know, in the end, we would not be here without those fans. We would not be here without the promotion. I mean, they put everything together. So, you know, I was always thankful for those people that put their minds together and you know, put out a great show for us.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I did a ton of shows for King of the Cage, and I had been to Lac de Flambeau a few times or whatever, but that was probably the best time I ever had because when it was over, we all had to take a shuttle back to the airport, which was like a two-hour drive. So it was myself, Jesse, Antonio, and Cecil Peoples. They took us to the airport. So, I mean, it seemed like a 15-minute drive because I couldn't stop laughing because Antonio's such a character. And the way he was talking to Cecil Peoples, I mean, because he was like, I don't know how Cecil made it being a black man in Alabama. And I'm like, and Cecil's like, he's not even paying attention, but I'm just busting up. So then to get to the airport, when you get on Southwest, you could choose your seats. So we all wanted to sit together. So we were sitting – Jesse and I went and sat down, and then some lady sat down, like, on the end, and Antonio wanted to sit there. And I go, hey, bro, she took the seat. He goes, oh, that's okay, no problem. Goes over there. Dude, he rips the biggest fart in the plane. It was like COVID. That lady got up so fast. And I'm looking at him, see, I told you, bro, I got nothing to worry about or whatever. So it was just that was like one of the best times I ever had. It was like family, you know, it was like somebody you knew, and we had such a good time. But, you know, since then, it was funny because I was talking to Antonio. I think you had got picked up at the airport, and I was talking to him, and he goes, you know, Jesse's the type of person that when all this is over, I'd like to have him help me coach. He said, because that, you know, that's just how he is. He's a good fighter. He's very smart or whatever. So since then, tell us a little bit about it. You figure, hey, man, you know, I did my thing. I got my family. I'm going to have to put Jesse Juarez to Nicolette Marie into the top four of the most beautiful families I've ever seen. It's ridiculous. It's Jesse Juarez, Saad Awad, Juan the Spaniard, Archuleta, and Manny Lara. I mean, I see those, like, when I see those families, yeah, it's like the All-American family. Like, I want to eat a piece of apple pie or whatever. So having that, you know, did you say, look, man, I did my thing, or maybe I don't want to coach, or tell us about, you know, what went on after that?
You know, when I retired this past year and a half ago, and I always get calls, say, hey, you want to come fight? Do you want to fight?
Yeah.
You know, I had to reevaluate things, because a lot of fighters go through this. You know, we do suffer from that PTSD. You know,
yeah.
We devote our whole lives to fighting, to training, and, you know, some of us just never make it. And that's one of the things where do you go from there? When do you go into coaching? You know, coaching, you have to have a lot of passion. You have to have a desire. There's a lot of things that you need to coach. And I would love to coach right now, but I had started a family, and I had to take care of what's most important at that moment, which is
right.
I had to take care of my family. And I had to step away from fighting, step away from training, and start trying to better myself so I can support my family. And
yeah.
And I'm almost to that point where, you know, I can take a few moments away from putting so much time into my work and building we're building a winery in Temecula.
Yeah.
And
oh, wow.
As soon as I get that situated, I'm taking a step away and letting her handle the operations, where I can just coach and train it. And because that's
yeah.
why I'm happy. I'm very happy in the cage. I'm very happy on the mat. And I look forward to hopefully returning to Antonio and paying back everything that he did for me. And I got to take care of this.
And especially with the experience that you have, you know, that's a lot of knowledge and a lot of, you know, stuff that you could pass on to a lot of other fighters, you know, because like I said, there's no substitute for experience. But real quick, before we let you go, because I got I'm running up against the clock. But, you know, we talk a lot about on this show about, you know, the state of mixed martial arts. But I'll give you an example, because to me, it seems more like a business now. But I had on Sean Shirk. And we're talking about how you had to be back then. You had to be a badass fighter to be in the UFC. I mean, you had to be super, super, you know, just huge and tough or whatever. And he goes, yeah, he goes, you know, I was undefeated. He goes, and I had one loss, and that was to Matt Hughes for the belt. And I got cut. He goes, and now you got these guys that have got, like, you know, 4 and 5 records that are making it to the UFC or whatever. He goes, it's just a business day. He goes, that's why I went to Japan for a while, you know, and went to Pride and came back or whatever. Do you kind of see that? Is it to me, it seems like it might be just a little bit watered down, or hey, UFC is top of the food chain and that's the best of the best.
You know, they do have the majority of the best fighters, but, you know, Bellator, the other ONE FC, all these other promotions, they have the top few guys in every promotion at every weight class, you know. And it just an example was when that kid that they brought in, he was supposed to be a phenomenal fighter. He's at 170. He didn't make it in the UFC. He went over to 1FC and gets knocked out. He was like a Ken doll. They call him the Ken doll. Do you remember this guy?
Yeah. Man, I can't remember his name, but that was the only time when the ring card girls, you know, they just stand there at the weigh-ins and they're just kind of stoic. That dude came out and they were like, oh my God, look at him, look at him. And they were watching him. I can't remember his name either. The karate guy. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And he trains over there with Tyron Woodley out in Missouri, I think they're in right now. So, Duke Rufus's gym. Yeah, that's where he was at. So, but I mean, there's tons. I mean, you're looking at Antonio's son right now, AJ McKee. You're looking at Joey Davis. I mean, you got these animals. Like, I go in there sometimes and train. And to tell you the truth, I don't want to train with, like, Joey Davis because he beats me up. I don't have the time to put in to go that hard with these kids, you know? They're young. It's young. Bellator has such a young talent right now. You know, in about a year or so, I can see their top five guys easily matching with the top five in UFC.
Yeah, I would agree. But it's, and to me, it doesn't it seem like AJ was like born and bred for the sport? I mean, because I was coaching at Millikan while he was at Poly, and he was just such a pain in the ass. You know, I knew at that weight, I'm like, dude, just do this. And they were intimidated, and he was just blowing through people, and it just seemed like he was bred to, you know, to be in Bellator or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just like his dad in wrestling,
yeah.
They didn't like wrestling him because he hurt people. You know, and Antonio would cross face people. He'd pick people up, slam them. He would just grind them in the face. And you know, his son was brought up with that mentality. I don't just want to beat you. I'm gonna hurt you too.
Well, hey. I got to tell you, man, I hope you do. I mean, to me, it's kind of back and forth. I mean, I'm happy. Just the accomplishments that you had were awesome. I mean, just, you know, I knew how Jesse Juarez was. When I saw that, I said, man, this dude, you know, it's a big step up for this kid. Jesse Juarez is nothing, you know, he's going to come in here, especially with Antonio and training with him. And when somebody like Antonio says, hey, man, I would like this guy to help me coach sometime, or that, to me, that says a lot. I mean, it really does. So, well, I'll tell you what, you know, once you get your winery open and stuff like that and decide whatever you want to do, just shoot me a text or shoot me a message. And wherever you're coaching or whatever you're doing, we'll promote the heck out of it on this show. All right, my friend?
Love it. Thank you.
All right. You got it. For the people listeners, Jesse Juarez, check him out. He's going to be doing a few things here and there, but I'm pretty sure he'll be back. Like we always say, it's in the blood. You know what I mean? It's in the blood to do that stuff or whatever. So we definitely look forward to that. So, I got to tell you, man, I appreciate you coming on and talking with us. I might have to call you back later on because a lot of people come on and they give me these questions like saying that the ring is the octagon is too big. And when they brought the smaller octagon to the UFC, it made a big difference. But let me tell you something. When Jesse fought in that we have a cage, a King of the Cage that they use for the smaller venues. And, dude, there is no running or no hiding when you get in that small cage. You know, Jesse?
Oh, man, it forces the action. That's what's really cool. Even if they did the same thing with USA Wrestling. You know, they're trying to force action. And that's what brings in entertainment. That's what brings this crowd in.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no running, buddy. You gotta fight.
See, and that's what I'm talking about. Jesse has that experience. He's fought in the big cage. He's fought in small and rings or whatever. So it brings a lot to the table. So, all right, my friend. Hey, I appreciate you coming. We'll keep in touch for sure. All right, Jesse?
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. You got it. Jesse Juarez, everybody. Make sure you keep up to date with him. We'll be right back after this. Talk to you soon, my friend.
All right.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo.
Man, Nicolette, I sure would have liked to talk to Jesse a little bit more. It's funny because Scotty Nelson always used to tell me, give him some time, bro, because you'll start talking and, you know, before you know it, you got to go to commercial or whatever. But
right.
You know, because so much to talk to him about, you know, Long Beach Fight Night, King of the Cage. And that's one night I'll never forget. I mean, it was amazing how he came in there and just did damage. But I had such a good time coming back. It was so funny. We were in Minneapolis or something for like an hour layover, and we just talked, and we had coffee and muffins, and it was just good to talk about everything, wrestling at Milliken and Polly and all that stuff. It was pretty cool. But
good.
Can you do me a favor? Can you shoot Ruben a text and let him know that we're going to call him in like 2 minutes?
Sure, I'll let him know.
And then we'll talk a little bit about that. It's funny because I put the picture of Ruben where he's like all got his arms up and everything when he's coming out, and there's a little picture of me in the background talking to Robert Acevedo, the ring guy.
Oh, really? How funny. You should have asked, too, because I actually have a photo of me and Ruben at one of the shows he invited me to.
And we talk about that show, and it was a great show. Was that the one where Ricky Mandel and all that stuff, was it that show?
Well, that was the show where the Ballard brothers were booked, and they tag teamed with Hector.
Oh, yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they brought him in a little hockey outfit. But the thing I remember most about that show was how slamming the barbecue hamburgers were.
And that was
a
shout-out to Ruben's dad. He put his dad on the grill.
It was off the chain. So we'll have to talk about that. But let's go ahead and give him a call. Hopefully he knows we're calling. And
okay, he should.
Hopefully he won't panic.
Okay.
This is me.
I'm going to ask Ruben on the air if we can come over because he's told us to come to the house and we're never allowed to go.
I don't know what's up with that. Especially when my brother-in-law lives right down the street.
Hello?
Hey, Ruben, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me, my friend?
Hey, what's up, Fabiano?
Hey, real quick for the people listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss with Fabi Chulo. Don't forget you can check us out every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30 right here on the Lucha Central Network. And we're going to be talking to Ruben Iglesias. But real quick, Nicolette Marie, say hi to Ruben.
Hey, Ruben Iglesias, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
Miss you guys.
I got to tell you, it's funny because we were talking a little bit in the opening and stuff and how it seems like wrestling's starting to make a turn to where people are starting to come back and starting to check out some of the shows and stuff like that, but we don't know if the second COVID wave is going to hit or stuff like that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we get to talking about that, I want to talk to you real quick. A ton of stuff I got to talk to you, but before we do a lot of people, this is what we have the show for. People don't realize that it takes a lot to put on a wrestling show. People just think you rent a ring, you get the wrestlers, bam, and you go out there. But there's so much more to it. You know, even just matching up.
There's a lot more to it, yeah.
Yeah. if I put the Ballard brothers against these guys, this is going to make a good show, blah, 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 whatever. So the one show I worked for you when we did a Battle Royal, I mean I'm going to go on record saying that's probably one of the best times I ever had. I mean, it was just fun. We had so much fun. They were just into it, and everybody had a good time or whatever. So real quick, before we get into that, talk about that, you know, about putting on the show. And do you still want to continue to put on shows, or do you think it's a little too much and you just want to wrestle?
You know what's funny? I wanted to take a break, which I did, obviously, once I found out I was having a baby. I said, all right, I need to take a year off from putting on shows because, as you know, it's a lot of work. Like you just said, it's not easy. It's not just rent a ring and that's it. You know, you got to, you know, secure a spot and then you just got to hope for the best. Especially the shows I always do was outdoors. I got to hope it wasn't crazy raining weather. Luckily, we live in California, so most of the time it's beautiful weather outside.
Yeah.
But, you know, then you got guys canceling. You got other guys, you know. Bailing for whatever reasons, and, you know, stuff comes up. I understand. I'm not trying to say, oh, this person's bailing or, you know, whatever. They never get upset about it, but, you know, then you got to rearrange the card, you know, and then you got to add this and then add this. You got to make sure you have enough money and hope that, you know, you draw well to pay the boys, obviously. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of hard stress. So, I wanted to take a year off and was talking about making a comeback this year. And I was talking with Sean Black, and I said, hey, let's do a show together. You know, I love Sean Black's vision. You know, big props to Sean, you know, out there. You know, he's still doing his thing amped up. And we were talking back in January about doing a big show this summer. And then, obviously, COVID hit, and there weren't those plans. And I think now it's just very hard to say. A lot of promoters aren't really looking into running shows right now. Everyone's just, you know, everyone thinks they might not be able to run a show for another year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, this is this is what we, you know, I've been working with a new company called UWC, and we did a huge live broadcast, and it was at a professional photography place, and it turned out to be huge. I mean, a ton of wrestlers came. I don't know where Ruben was at. Did I invite him, Nicolette Marie? I don't remember.
No, I didn't get
the
invite.
It kind of went kind of like robot voicey. I don't know if we can hear you right now.
Yeah, what do you call it? So anyways, the guy that I was talking to is like, yeah, man, let's do one here. We're ready to roll. You know, it's out there in the city of Torrance. So in the main event, I had the High Risk, and I was going to put them against a team that wasn't able to do it. So when I had Jessica, his name escapes me. It was Ruben's partner when he was in WWE.
Oh, Julio.
And they thought, well, dude, bring Julio and bring Ruben, bring them back together, and they can go against High Risk. And I thought, genius, this guy's smart. He knows what he's talking about or whatever. So real quick, before
right.
we get into talking about that, tell us a little bit about your experience when you did that. I mean, it had to be a hell of an experience to go to a WWE and actually get a match and do the whole thing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was crazy. That was my first time actually being invited to do WWE extra work as what it is. We're just there to be extra bodies in case, you know, they need us as security guards or EMTs, whatever they might have you do.
Yeah.
And I remember I showed up first time at San Diego. I was just at the venue a couple weeks ago, actually. I was out there just hanging out in San Diego, and I went to go visit the venue.
Yeah.
And it was cool. You know, we're just hanging out. And I went in with zero expectations. I was just there just to enjoy the first time experience, you know, meet everybody, see how the big show was ran. Wasn't expecting to be even put on TV for anything.
Yeah.
Well, they bring us out there and they tell us, you know, they wanted to use everybody for the No Way Jose conga line.
Yeah.
You know, he was brand new at the time, so they wanted to use pretty much everybody. And then I saw, I remember it was Dean Malenko, who was kind of standing there with Authors of Pain on the side as they were, you know, telling us, you know, what we're going to do tonight. And then Dean Malenko walks over and selects two guys to go wrestle Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
And they picked Julio right away. And then they picked, Max McMagnus was the original guy that got picked.
Uh-huh.
And when he walked over to Authors of Pain, he was too tall. So they sent him back.
Yeah.
And then Mikey O'Shea was picked next, and he was too tall. So then finally I was picked. I was like third in line. They picked me, and I was the same size as Julio. And they said, all perfect, yeah. You guys. You know, they didn't want guys as tall as them or taller. So, you know,
yeah.
It was more of a height thing. So they picked us. And originally I thought we were doing a dark match because Authors of Pain hadn't been on TV for a week. So I thought we were just going to be on before Raw. And then they tell us, like, no, you guys are like fifth segment on the show. So this and that. But it's going to be like 3 minutes. Total, which, you know, entrances and match, and I believe we had to get beat down afterwards, and, you know, Titus O'Neil and his partner was at the time, Apollo Crews, were going to come out and make the save and, you know, all that, so it was like total 3 minutes with all that, so it was pretty cool, you know, we got to just do that, and you know, we went over the match. We actually got to go in the ring beforehand, and Road Dogg and Fit Finley, I remember, were telling us what they wanted, and you know, just, you know, no, you know, they wanted us to really just sell everything and talking about where the cameras were at and just all that. So being in the ring with those two guys was amazing, you know. So, and then we got dressed. They wanted us in light colors. That's why I wore the red and green, you know, representing the Mexicano, you know, colors for our people. But everything else I had was black. So they didn't want me in black. They said, wear anything that was colorful. You know, they wanted us to look opposite of them. And Julio just happened to have green and red tights too, so we matched. Even though my name said Ruben Iglesias on there too, which is funny because they introduced us as Rich and Rex Gibson.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, and what was funny is they didn't even tell us what our names were going to be. They just decided like on the spot as we were out there.
Yeah.
And I asked Julio like as we were in the ring, I'm like, did they ask you for your names? Like, no. And I'm like, he's like, did they ask you? I'm like, no. So, like, no one asked us for our names or anything. Yeah, but, it was nerve-wracking. We went out there. We went out during commercial. It's dark. And I was somewhat lit up, and people recognized us. Obviously, I've been in the business a while. I've wrestled in San Diego so many times. We're making my way down the ramp, and I hear, like, two people yell out Ruben as I'm walking down the ramp with the referee. and we're waiting in that dark ring until the lights come back on and Authors of Pain make their way out. And we do the match, and, you know, that was that. And Vince McMahon thanked us afterwards, which was pretty cool. That was a cool moment.
I remember somebody yelled out "Big Rubes" when you were walking to the ring. I do remember that.
Yeah.
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 That's got to be an experience, man. I mean, doing that on a regular basis or whatever, if you make it, that's got to be – I mean, I don't see how somebody can throw that away. Like, you know, a lot of guys go and then – yeah, you know what I mean? It's amazing because just to experience that, to me, was pretty cool. Because when I saw it, I'm like, there's Ruben in there. Or
yeah, I mean, I get why a lot of guys don't want to do it, because it kind of ruins, I guess, their reputation, I guess you would say, you know. Especially if you're a bigger guy, like say like an Eric Watts or like a Mikey O'Shea, you know, when you're a big guy in the indie scene and you're supposed to be a monster and you're jobbing out on TV, I could understand why they wouldn't want to do it or not be as excited to do it.
Yeah.
But when you're someone like me, I've been doing this so long, that to me, I was like, this might be my only opportunity to ever wrestle for WWE or on Raw.
Right.
You know, I'm not a big guy that's booked as a monster on the indie scene. So it's like, if I get squashed on Raw, it's not a big deal. It's a fun opportunity. It's bragging rights, I guess you would say. But you know, obviously that doesn't want to be my one and only.
Yeah.
Highlight of my career. I'm hoping to go back, and I've been back there plenty of times and got to do more spots with them. But, you know, obviously the goal is to always get signed by WWE or anywhere else at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
don't let them,
hey, Bobby,
don't let them fool
I
you. Wait, Jessica, they would, Nicola, they would give their left arm to be on TV on WWE. Don't let them fool you just for the experience. Real quick, I got to take a quick break. Can you hang on for just a minute, Ruben?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, hang on, and then I think Nicolette Marie wants to ask you about Gino Told You So. Hang on a second.
No, I have
Why should
question.
You
oh.
visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to lucha-masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha Legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-masks.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo.
Yeah, got to check out that luchamask.com, and they're having a lot of trouble keeping those Rey Fénix masks, and them suckers are selling like you wouldn't believe. But you're here. You're at WrestleBots with Bobby Chulo. We're talking to Ruben Iglesias. Nicolette Marie, go ahead. I know you wanted to ask Ruben some questions.
Yeah, no, Ruben, I do have a question for you. But first, I wanted to tell you, though, I know how you were mentioning how you like working with Sean, and Sean has a vision, and it's really awesome to work with him. But for the people who don't know, though, Bobby had known Ruben years prior to me knowing Ruben. And I want to say 2018, but I want to even say now maybe 2016 was when I got to know Ruben. And Ruben came to an OCCW show, and he wasn't working, but he was flyering for a show he was going to be doing because Ruben owns Exile Pro. And I was selling my merch next to him. And we finished, and then Ruben said, you should come check out my show. And he gave me a flyer, and I was like, yeah. I was like, I think I know who you are. I said, you wear pink and black, and you put people in the sharpshooter, right? And he was like, yeah, that's me. I was like, okay. For whatever reason, whatever happened, I didn't go to the show. And then I kept in contact with Ruben, and Ruben reached out to me again. He said, I'm putting on another show. You should come. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, it's in Whittier, you know, my hometown. And he was like, you can bring your boyfriend. And I was like, can I bring my dad instead? And he was like, yeah, you can bring whoever you want. And I said, okay. So me and Fabi went to the show. Yeah, me and Fabi went to the show, and Fabi had a really good time and everything, and Ruben saw me at the end, and he said, did you bring your gear? And I said, no, and he said, you should have. I would have thrown you in there with Ricky Mandel. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I think he's just, like, joking around with me. Like, no, I don't believe that. And then Ruben called me months later, and he was like, hey, I got this guy from Nicaragua. Do you want to, you know, work with him? And I was like, if you're putting your name on the line for me, like, sure, yeah, I'll go ahead and work. And that was when Ruben had me work with Vicky Dice and with Ricky Mandel. And that led to a lot for me. And I always say, too, it takes a promoter to see something in you and to put their name on the line for you and to bring it out of you. So Ruben gave me a chance, Sean gave me a chance, John gave me a chance, and that really helped my whole Nicolette Marie thing get out there. And like a week
and
later, I worked
yeah,
for
snowballed.
MPW. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, now it's snowballed big time. But it just
yeah,
that's all it takes.
Year.
Yeah, it just takes, you know,
yeah.
one and then people. But you should see now, Ruben, it's people like we did a show in Laguna Hills and she came out with me and I was just going to have her do, you know, a couple little things. But the guys I was working with, like, no, let's do this and let's have her do this and do this. And I'm like, oh, all right, you guys should, because you know it's your daughter. So I'm like, okay, you should. She's like, yeah, yeah, I got it, I got it. And that led to people, we're walking out and people are going, Fabi, can you move so we can get a picture with Nicolette? Fabi, can you move out of the way? And I'm like,
that's the way it
so
works,
I'm going,
man.
I'm going to the back. But anyways,
but yeah,
quick,
Ruben, please talk to
yeah,
us
talk,
about the whole Gino told you so thing.
Yeah,
what's going
he was
on? Tell us about your promo,
hour.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, you know, Gino is someone that I had known for a really long time. You know, we were close, you know, friends. I would even consider this guy like a brother at one point. You know, we're super tight. You know, and back in the day, I saw something in Gino. There was talent there. There's something about him that I knew just that screamed superstar. But what Gino was, in the beginning, he was working for a lot of these promoters that were just taking advantage of him. You know, a lot of lucha promoters, you know, don't want to say the name, but a certain promoter in the OCCW out there was taking advantage of him. And I know he had heat with Gino at one point. And I kept telling him, I said, Gino, you know, this is where you need to be. This is, you know, I was guiding him, encouraging him, telling him, go work for guys like, you know, Jesse Hernandez, Dave Marquez. I was encouraging him. He finally did. He went to go work for a lot of those guys, and his name blew up out of nowhere. Like, literally, just overnight, Gino became a bigger deal. And it's just one of those things where his success went to his head, and he just thought he was better than everybody. You know, and he just started, like, just running his mouth. Even other people that helped him out. I mean, you've seen, you know, his videos, and just now he's running his mouth on Navajo Warrior, another guy that's helped him along the way and that's been there, been a mentor to him. He's just he's a disrespectful little prick. That's what he is. You know, now that he has success, he thinks he's all that, doesn't thank people that have come before him. He thinks he's better than everybody else. He's like, oh, I'm Gino this and blah, blah, blah. He thinks it's a big deal because he's been main eventing, you know, towns and stepping in the ring with talent like Killer Cross and Darby Allin, which are great talents, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I've done that before. You know, mm-hmm. I've wrestled guys like Willie Mack and Brian Cage and Eli Drake in main events and been in the ring with TJ Perkins. And the difference between me and Gino is I never let it get to my head. I've always been humbled. I've always humbled myself. And I've always never forgotten the people that have helped me out along the way. But Gino's totally opposite. He thinks it's just all about him. You know, he's just selfish. He's self-centered. And you know, he thinks he's this big superstar when he's not. He's
so, Ruben, what do all these promos right and everything, what do they lead to? You guys will wrestle for a championship belt
yeah,
somewhere later down the line?
Yeah, what's the solution?
I've been calling him out, and I've been waiting for someone to book it, which someone has, and I'm waiting for it to be announced soon. You know, I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, that this show does happen. So I'm hoping to announce that we are going to end up stepping in the ring soon. But I'm just letting Gino know right now, if I step in that ring with him, I'm going to hurt him, straight up. I'm not going to take him lightly. I'm not going to be like, hey, let's have fun. You know, I'm going to slap the taste out of his mouth and teach him some respect. Which,
and,
you know, he thinks I'm jealous of his career. That's what it comes down to. He thinks I'm jealous of his career, his lifestyle. You know, he says he's accomplished more than I have. You know, I mean, he thinks he's a big deal because he wrestled on 205 Live. He's never been on Raw like I have. That's
yeah,
a flagship
that's
show right there, baby. He's never been on
yeah.
Raw. So I know deep down he's jealous of that. But, you know, to say I'm jealous of his career is laughable. I'm not jealous of his career. I'm not jealous of his lifestyle. I'm living my best life right now. I'm not jealous of his life.
Now, one
yeah.
thing that Gino did say on the show we want you to address for us is that he said that you have had the same haircut for 6 years.
Yes. No, 16.
That's a lie.
That's a lie. Okay.
No, I've never had the same haircut. He's so full of it. He's so full of it. He doesn't even. Yeah.
Now, so if you do wrestle, because I know he's in Albuquerque now, will it be out there or will it be over here?
Well, there's no wrestling shows in Albuquerque.
Okay.
And that's the thing. He thinks he's top dog. He's going state to state wrestling everywhere. He does that because there's no shows in Albuquerque. He has to go state to state. He's no top guy.
Yeah.
You know, no one's flying him out everywhere. He's driving everywhere. So don't let that guy fool you.
Okay. Well,
I'm wrestling in three different states this month. It's like, oh, you have to. Nobody's running in Albuquerque.
Ruben, thank you for coming on.
He wants to act like he's a big shot out there. It's like, come on, bro. There's nothing goes out in Albuquerque. What are you doing with your life out there? Going to Chili's on a Friday night? Wow. That's a lifestyle.
Go ahead, Nicolette.
No, I wanted to tell Ruben, thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for addressing all of the rumors and everything. And Ruben, Favi and I are going to be in your town Halloween day. And so if you'd like your protein powder, please let me know. It's been sitting here for like a month.
Yes, thank you guys. And again, I'm going to get my hands on Gino. It's going to be soon. I'll let everybody know. Hopefully you guys could plug it for me. And again, it's not about jealousy. This is about respect. I'm gonna beat some respect into that guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. As soon as you have everything locked and loaded, shoot me a text or a message. We'll promote it on this show. We'll get that place packed, man, so everybody can see, you know, the final outcome. And as soon as we get the okay for Torrance, you know, it's going to be high risk against you and Julio. So we'll definitely look forward to that. So we'll keep in touch. Yeah, we're going to be out your way Halloween or whatever. So maybe we can swing by and we'll talk about the old days. How about that?
Sounds good. You guys got my number. Just hit me up.
Okay, cool. For the people listening, check out Ruben Iglesias. Do they just put Ruben Iglesias in the little search engine and you'll come up on social media?
I believe Ruben Iglesias on Facebook. I think it's Big Rubes on Instagram if they want to follow me. Ruben Iglesias on Twitter. So Twitter and Facebook is Ruben Iglesias.
Big Rubes. Okay, perfect. Hey, man, we appreciate you coming on and talking and setting everything all straight with Gino and all that. And that's the place to settle it, man. Get in that ring. We'll see who can get it done. And I look forward to it, man. So make sure you keep in touch. All right, my friend?
Thank you. Appreciate you guys. All right, you guys take care.
All right. Ruben Iglesias, everybody. Make sure you check him out. We'll be right back after this.
Thanks again. Love you guys.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
You know, Nicolette Marie, Ruben's kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Easygoing, like happy all the time. Hey, bro, you know what's going on? But he seemed a little serious about. I don't think he liked the remarks that Gina was saying back and forth. I think they're going to go at it. What do you think?
I'm glad that he did clear them up, though. Yeah, I don't believe Ruben's had the same haircut for 6 years, but I don't know. But that was really funny. I just felt like after Gina said that, I was like, I think the two favorite people we've had on the show so far since it's been running was definitely The Unholy and was Gino Told You So. Those are my two favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, because they just tell it like it is or whatever. Well, we look forward to that. I mean, he's going to come work for us when we get the show going and stuff like that. So we definitely look forward. And he lives literally down the block from my brother-in-law or whatever. So, we'll come by and talk some wrestling or whatever.
Bobby,
and
here's one thing that I wanted to ask you, too, moving on before you have to end the show, was I don't know if you saw AEW. I want to say it was not this past weekend. It might have been the week before.
Good Lord.
But it was when, oh, my God, the Young Bucks came out. It might have been with FTR, and they were going to turn on them. And somebody ran out, and I didn't know who it was, and I said, oh, it must be the Young Bucks' dad. And I thought they were going to beat up the other people. The guy was really, really old, right? And the first thing I noticed was he was wearing Skecher Go Walks, which are like old people's shoes, right? And he was struggling to get up on the turnbuckle. Yeah, and I didn't know who it was. And then they say, oh, by God, it's Terry Blanchard. And I'm like, that's how he's carrying. I mean, I guess I hadn't seen him in a long time, but my gosh, he looked terrible.
Well, he's he's been around for a long time. And I believe he's into the church. And no, I think he married Daga and his daughter, Tessa Blanchard, or whatever.
God,
so he slowed down a lot. You know what I mean? They brought him out to kind of get that old school feel or whatever, because he was part of the Four Horsemen. It was him, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson. Now that, yeah, man, so he dude's a legend or whatever. So regardless of Skechers Go Walks and Ribera Steakhouse style jacket and whatever, that dude's paid his dues. He deserves whatever, you know, happens or whatever. But that's just, you know, he's been around a long time, and that dude's taken a lot of shots. His feuds with Magnum TA are legendary, with Dusty Rhodes and all that. So he definitely does it. When you said
that. Yeah, so you know what? I only saw the Four Horsemen side of him, then. I did not see the Priest side of him. That's what I needed to be looking at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And when you have a daughter that's like the one of the best wrestlers, female, in the world, and when your line at Lucha Expo goes around the corner and dudes are dropping $80 for your picture, you've done something. You know what I'm saying?
You're right,
yeah. Yeah, by the way, you still owe Dog a $10, right?
I do. I know. Yeah. Don't make it an announcement. Yeah. Greg, edit that out. Yeah.
Well, Daga, I'll get that 10 to you so we can get you on air or whatever and talk about it. But hey, big thanks for all the guests for coming on. Charming Crenzenzo, of course. And of course, Jesse Juarez talking about the old days when we went out to Lac de Flambeau. And of course, Ruben Iglesias talking about Gino Told You So and barbecue burgers and stuff like that. It's always a good, and it's gotta be really cool just to experience going to WWE actually getting a, yeah, so regardless of what people say, oh, I don't want to get crushed or whatever, so what? If you're comfortable in yourself, you do whatever. And I think a lot of people would like that chance just to check it out. So definitely appreciate everybody coming. Hopefully we'll see everybody here next Tuesday. To be honest, we don't really know. A lot of stuff is up in the air.
Well, you know what? Actually, Fabi, I had said too, because a lot of my friends were asking me about next Tuesday, and I had said next Tuesday is my birthday, so I don't think that we're going to be here unless you're having somebody co-host with you, possibly Candy Girl, but I'm not sure, but you can announce that, though.
I might not be here as well, so we'll keep everybody.
You want to come to my birthday party?
Absolutely,
okay,
man.
Great.
We'll keep everybody posted and let everybody know what's happening. And hopefully we'll see everybody Friday at the big show, RGR Productions. It's going to be this Friday in the city of Laguna Hills. Psycho Clown's going to be there. Make sure you go. It's huge. And the place is awesome. The city's great. There's a Starbucks. You make a whole day. There's a Starbucks. There's a Ross. There's all kinds of stuff around there. So make sure you check it out. And we'll see everybody here hopefully next week. If not, we'll keep you updated. All right. We'll see you in a minute.
Thank you, guys.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at Lucha-Masks.com.